Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shkolim Daf Tes Zayin, and we're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Riba Ben Rivka Bas Mordechai. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah, and we begin the Gemara on Tes Zayin Umar Aleph, three lines from the top. Yesterday we had a discussion about what happened to the Aron, the great holy Aron that was present in the first Beis Hamikdash, was not present in the second Beis Hamikdash, and we had different opinions as to when it was taken. So we had opinions that it was stored underneath the Beis HaMikdash, either in the Kodesh Kodashim area by Yoshio, or it was stored in Lishkas Dira Eitzim area, which was in the Ezras Noshim, or it was an opinion that it was actually taken down to Golus Bavel with Nebuchadnezzar, and it never returned. In any event, we go according to the opinion now, Mishenigna Zoron, when the Aron was hidden, this goes, Yoshio hid the Aron, and it says, Nignazimo, along with it, were also hidden various other items. Tzinsenes Haman, the famous jar of man that Aaron was told to save for all future generations to see what it was like that they had man in the Midbar, that if you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu faithfully, all your parnos is taken care of you. So they were told to kach tzinsenes man and store it away. And based upon Psukim, this Gemara is also found in Yuma. Yitzchak Hashem will learn it again in 2 months. And this Gemara there is explained that all of these things are connected by various psukim to show that they had to be hidden away along with the Aron. So the Tzinsenes Haman was also stored there. Utsluchis Shemen HaMishra, the famous Shemen HaMishra, which Moshe Rabbeinu used to anoint all of the Kelim in the Mishkan as well as the Kohanim. And we'll learn more about this a little bit later in the shiur. So a tzluchis of the Shemen HaMishra, the jar of the Shemen HaMishra, was also stored in the area where the Aron was hidden away. Umaklo shel Aron, uprochov, ushkedov, the famous makel of Aron, that the nace occurred to show that he was in fact the chosen one, and it wasn't nepotism, Rachman al-San, on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he chose Aron to be the Kohen Gadol, when he had the machlokis with Korach v'yadoso. So Aron's stick turned into a blossom that it had almonds on it, the proch of Ushkedav, and this was also hidden away. Likewise, the Argos, Sheshivo Plishtim Oshab Leloke Yisro, when the Aron was captured by the Plishtim, so the Aron was causing a lot of trouble amongst the Plishtim, and they realized that they had made a terrible mistake in stealing the Aron, so they sent it back to Klai Yisrael with two nursing cows, and miraculously it made it all the way back to Eretz Yisrael to the Kiryas Yearim, and that's where the Aron stayed for a while. And the Plishtim also sent along a matana, a certain type of asham, which was shaped, gold items shaped in the form of, they were afflicted with some sort of illness. Many suggested it was hemorrhoids, others suggested it was like a prolapsed rectum, some imagery to show that they recognized that the illness that they got was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they also sent along 5 golden mice, and this was put into some sort of an argaza box, and this box was hidden away as well that the Plishtim had sent. Who actually hid all this? Me, Ginozo. So we already learned yesterday, now the Gemara tells us again today, Yoshio Ginozo. Yoshio hid it away. Why? Kivin Shira Shikosov. This is the story that we just read on the second day of Pesach, in Staf Torah of the second day of Pesach, where Yoshio was a king from the age of 8 years old, and nobody knew anything there. The Klai Yisrael was really in a very low spiritual state, and they finally found the Sefer Torah in the decrepit, essentially not used Beis HaMikdash, and they found it open to the Tochacha, and they took this Musar, and Yoshio had a tremendous turnaround in Klai Yisrael, and the end of the Haftorah said that there wasn't the king like Yoshio. He was so great in restoring Klai Yisrael back to its spiritual level after they had Nebuch gone down so much so from his father Amon and his grandfather Menashe, who were terrible, terrible kings. Yoshio really restored everything to a great point, but unfortunately he was killed in a war with Paro Nicho when he didn't listen to Yirmiyahu, and he died with the words on his breath saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right and I was wrong. In any event, he saw the Tochacha, they saw the Sefer Torah opened up to the Tochacha, where it said, Yolach Hashem itcha v'yesmalkecha asher tokim olecha el ragoy asher lo yodato ato v'abusecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send you into Golus, into Bavel. And therefore he realized that if they went into Golus Bavel, so the Aron couldn't go with them, and he hid the Aron away. So therefore, Omad Uginozo, so he stood up and he hid the Aron away with all of these other things as well. And that's why the Pasuk says, Hadohu Dechsev. Now we can understand the Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim, where it says, Vayomer Lalavim Hamivinim, L'chol Yisrael, HaKadoshim LaHashem. So Yoshio said to all the people, Lalavim and all of Klai Yisrael, and he said, Tenu es Aron HaKodesh, Babayis HaShabon HaShlomo, Ben David, Melech Yisrael. put the aron inside the Beis HaMikdash area. Now, he says, Ein lechem masa bakosiv. You're not going to have to carry it anymore. So what does this mean? So Amalemi told him, Im golahu imochem lebabel. If when Nebuch Klai Yisrael is going to go into Golos Babel, so if you were going to go and take the aron with you, Ein atem machzirin also od limkomo. You're never going to bring it back. So therefore, let's hide it now. Elo, ato ivdu es Hashem lokechem, the ace amo Yisrael. Instead, let's do tshuva. Let's go try to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in another way because we're not going to have this Aron anymore. Now the Gemara goes, we talked about the Shemen HaMishcha a moment ago, so now we talk further about the Shemen HaMishcha. Now the Tiklun Chatatin starts off the gears and he says over here, V'nignas pitum shel Shemen HaMishcha keitzad. How do they actually go and make the Shemen HaMishcha? So we just have the gears over here, pitum Shemen HaMishcha, what was it? So we read the whole Pasuk, and the Pasuk says, then it tells us, next pasuk, now that's the entire pasuk. The Gemara has a lot of vagomers over here, and it's going to refer to these various items that are in the vagomer as well. So these are the ingredients, how much you have to go and take, the amounts that you have to go and take in order to go and make the Shemen HaMishcha. So we have the pasuk over here in our Gemara, V'atok kachlecho v'gomer. It tells us to go and take certain amounts over here. It's going to tell you to take 500 amount of the mor dror, so that's 500. Then you're going to take the kinomen bosem, you're going to take half of that, machatziso, that's going to be chamishim umosayim, that's going to be 250. And then you can take the kine bosem, some suggest kine bosem is cannabis. That's the word cannabis comes from kine bosem. In any event, the kine bosem is also chamishim umosayim, 250. So between the first 500 and then the two 250s, that's 1,000. And then the Gemara continues, v'kida chamesh meos v'gomer. You're taking 500 of this kida, that's another 500. So we have a total, shein elef chamesh meos manim. So we have a total of 1,500. The 500, the 250, the 250, and then another 500, it adds up to 1,500. Then the pasuk ends and it says, Shemen Zayis Hin. You're going to have with this, all of these ingredients for the Shemen HaMishcha, you're also going to have 12 lug, a hin is 12 lug, so it's going to be a hin's worth of shemen zayis, shnei masor lug, which is 12 lug. Now, shebo sholkin eso yikorin, they would take this oil and go and soak it, or stew it, boil it, inside these ikorin, means the roots of these ingredients that we just said. This is the opinion theory of Meir, that's the girsa that we have. However, Vilna Gaon corrects the girsa to make it later on appropriate with the Gemara that we're going to have later on, and says this is really Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and that's also the girsa over here of the Tiklin Charitin. Now, the next opinion that we have is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, they had is Rabbi Yossi Omer. Sholkon hoy b'mayim, they would first soak these roots in water. Sholkon literally means to soak it, or it can mean to stew it, also to boil it in the water. The nos in Shemen al-Gabe, and then they would take the water out with stomach, and then they would soak it in oil. And therefore, the oil would go and absorb, either according to the opinion of Rav Meir slash Rav Yehuda, or the opinion of Yehuda slash Rav Yossi, so the oil that was now soaking in these roots, or cooking or stewing in these roots, would grab in the aroma from these roots. Then once the oil got it, they would take the oil out. Just like the people who make perfume, they would normally do this type of a process in order to make the aromatic perfumes. Hadod d'chsev, and this is what the pasuk says when it says Shemen Mishchas Kodesh v'Gomer. Now, the end of this pasuk is the critical part. The end of the pasuk tells us Maaseh Rokeach. This is the way the people who make perfumes did this, and that's what it means. Hadod d'chsev, the way that people made the perfume. Furthermore, about the Shemen Mishcha, Tani within the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Bei Rabbi Eloi, Rabbi Yehuda Bei Eloi, he said as follows: Shemen Mishcha Shasa Moshe B'Midbar. This Shemen Mishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Midbar, Ma'ase Nisim Nasibel Mitzchilah Atzof. It was miraculously performed and made right from the very beginning until the very, very end. Shemitzchilah Eloi Yaboelo Shteimos Alug. It started off with a very small amount. 12 lug is not a very large amount. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Shemen Zayis Hin. As we said, it's a hin, which is 12 lug. And im losuch boas yikorin, just to go and anoint the roots, lo yabosofek, there wouldn't have been enough over here with just 12 lugin. It was a lot. We had 1,500 of these roots of shekel hakodesh, and therefore the weight of that, the amount of that, was quite a bit. And just even to anoint it with oil, it would get absorbed right away. So alach haskama v'kama, when you're going to go and boil it in there, and it's going to get even absorbed more. So how did 12 lugin, how did that manage to maintain that there was enough, as we'll see, to do all the kelim and all the kohanim. Shor boleya, because number one, when you boil it, the fire helps absorb the oil, some of it evaporates. The eitzim bolim, and it allows the wood to absorb it better. So therefore, where did these 12 lugans go? They should have all gone away, either evaporated or gone inside these roots. Instead, they maintain their 12 lugan. Vayor balas. Now, the pot that they're cooking it in, that also should have absorbed something. And nevertheless, they were able to anoint the entire Mishkan and all of the kelim of the Mishkan. Hashulchan the kokelim, they were able to anoint the Shulchan and all of its kelim. Habenorah v'kokelim, they were able to anoint the menorah and all of its vessels. And then furthermore, and this is even more amazing, umimenu nimshichu Aaron Kohen Gadol ubanav kol shivas mi'abelum, every single day of the 7 days before, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, next week's parasha after Pesach, so we're going to have on the 8th day. So for the 7 days before, and it's called the Shivis Mehamiluim, so the Aaron and his children were anointed every day with the Shemen HaMishra, and then, Umimenu Nimshichu Kohanim Gedolim Malachim, for all future generations, the Kohanim Gedolim and the Malachim were also anointed. And there is an unbelievable medrash that says that this was the Pach Shemen that the Chashmonoim found in the Beis HaMikdash. It was actually the Shemen HaMishcha. And that's why it had the amazing miracle that it didn't get used up. It burned and didn't get used up. That was the nais over here, that this oil, these 12 lugim from Moshe Rabbeinu, were never used up. So that's what it means. Na'inisim nasibo mitchilo v'yatso, from the very beginning to the very end. Now, Melech batchilo toa mishicha. The Brisa continues and says that a king requires to be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. Melech, ben Melech, but if he then has a son afterwards, it takes over after him, ein ton Mishicha, the son doesn't require. Once you have the lineage of the king established, so that his children don't need Mishicha with the Shemen HaMishcha. Why not? My timer. Because it says, kun Mishocheyu kizehu. When the Navi Shmuel went to anoint David HaMelech, he went to Yishai, the father of David HaMelech, and said, one of your sons is going to be the king. He didn't know which one. Ultimately, it was David HaMelech. We had that earlier as well. And the Navi says that he told David HaMelech, you get up, and I will anoint you. You are the one. You are the chosen one. Kizehu, implying, Zeh ton Mashicha, that only you are required to have Mashicha, but your descendants, the whole lineage of David HaMelech, technically doesn't require Mashicha. Vein b'no ton Mashicha. However, we'll see, Shlomo HaMelech was anointed. We'll explain that in a moment. That's by a king. Aval Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol, by the Kohanim Gedolim, even though they had a lineage as well, just because your father was a Kohen Gadol and he was anointed, you also had to be anointed. Afilu Adasara Doros, Tom Mashicha, even generation after generation after generation, even though their lineage was perfect, and even though the lineage was pure, nevertheless, every Kohen Gadol had to be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. That's why they were known as the Kohen Moshuach, the king, the Kohen Gadol who was anointed. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and after Yoshio hid the Aron and all of these things, such as the Shemen HaMishcha, according to the opinion that Yoshio hid it before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so then the Kohen Gadol would become the Kohen Gadol. Without Mashicha, he would be putting on the 8 garments of the Kohen Gadol. He would call the Kohen Gadol Meruba Begadim, because he didn't anymore have the Kohen Moshuach. The Gemara continues and says, V'chulo kayim losud lovo, and the Shemen HaMishcha remains to this very day, if it's hidden away, wherever it is. And this is based upon the Pasuk, Hado Dechsev. The Pasuk says, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, Ye Zeh Li L'Doro Seichem. This shall be for all generations. Zeh, the Korban Eda says, in Gematria is 12. The Zeh B'Gematria Yud Beis, Klomar Af L'Doro Seh B'Gematria Zeh. They're also going to need this 12 Lugin, that's the allusion over here, they're going to need Zeh L'Doro Seichem, for all future generations. And then it tells us when you're going to anoint the king, you should go and anoint him via a spring, a mayan. Why is this? So, Shenema, because the Pasuk says, when David HaMelech went to make and the anointment on Shlomo HaMelech to be the king after him, v'irkavtim es Shlomo b'ni ala pirda, they carried Shlomo HaMelech there on a mule, asher li, that belonged to me, also el Gichon, and bring him down to the Gichon. The Gichon was a river that was near Yerushalayim. The Korban Eda says it's Mayan Katan. It was a spring, a small spring that was near Yerushalayim, some of Yerushalayim. He says, V'lo zeu Gichon ha-Gadol, Yosemi Gan Eden. This is not the Gichon that comes out of Gan Eden. Others disagree and say, no, this is referring to the Gichon that comes out of Gan Eden, a very large spring water. The Korban Eda adds that we bedavka do this by a spring, so to be a simon milsa, that his malchus should continue to flow like a spring always flows. The pasuk continues and says, "Umashach also Sham Tzadik a Kohen. The Kohen Gadol Tzadik went and anointed Shlomo Melech there, and likewise with Natan Nabi, the Melech Yisrael. Natan Nabi was also over there, and they proclaimed Shlomo Melech to be the king on all of Yisrael." Now, a moment ago, we just said that Ein Moshe Melech Ben Melech. The Gemara continues. So, how come they anointed Shlomo? David was the Melech. His son Shlomo was the Melech. So, why did they have to anoint him? So, Gemara says they only did this over here, even though it wasn't normally necessary. Elab Nemach Lokes, because there were other sons of David, Nevach, that had rebelled. We have Adonio, we have Avshalom, that tried to be the king while David was still alive, never mind, but after David, and therefore there was a machlokas as to who would be the successor to David. So therefore, to put aside any claims that anybody else had, David anointed Shlomo HaMelech. And therefore, Mipnei Ma Nimshach Shlomo, why was Shlomo HaMelech anointed? Mipnei Machlokuso Shel Adonio, because the oldest son of David, Adonio, wanted to be the king, and therefore, to demonstrate that it was really Shlomo, they anointed Shlomo HaMelech. Likewise, we had another situation. Yoash was also anointed. Why was that? Mipnei Asalyo, because Asalyo was a very wicked lady. She became the queen, and she tried to destroy all the Malchus Beis David. She almost succeeded, Rechmona Litzlan. But Yoash was able to be saved. He was hidden inside the Kodesh Kedoshim for the first 6 years of his life, and then he was taken out and made the king. And therefore, since it was this Machlokas, it was Asalyo, so therefore they anointed him as well. Likewise, Yehoachaz, he was also anointed. Now, he was the son of Yoshio, so his father was the great king Yoshio. Why did he need to be anointed? So that's because Mnei Yoyakim Ochim. That's because he had another brother, Yoyakim, who was actually older than him, Shoyagodu Mimenu Shtei Shonim, and Yoyakim would also eventually become the king, but first Yehoachaz was the king, so Yehoachaz was the king first, and therefore, since technically he could have argued that his older brother, Yoyakim, should have been the king first, so therefore they anointed Yehoachaz because of this machlokis. And then finally, we have an enigmatic statement that says, Yehu, now this is from Malchus Yisrael, this is no longer from Malchus Beis David, this is not the Malchus of Yehuda, this is the Malchus of the northern kingdom of the Aseres HaShvatim, what's called Malchus Yisrael, and it says that Yehu, he was also anointed, Mipnei Yoram, because there was Machlokas with Yoram. Yoram was the son of Achav and Izebel. He was a horrible king, and that was the end of that lineage. So therefore, because of that machloket, so to say, with Yoram, so Yehu had to be anointed. Gemara will ask momentarily, but we don't normally go and anoint Malchus Yisrael. So Gemara says, Lo ken kisiv, kum mishachayu kizehu. Only David had to be anointed. Zeton mishicha, Malchus Beis David requires mishicha, then Malchus Yisrael to the mishicha. But kings that aren't from Malchus Beis David don't require mishicha. So how come Yehu had to be anointed because of the machlokas with Yoram? Why did he need to be anointed at all? Now, those kings in the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, didn't require mishicha. Gemara says, now here the word we have is Eloh. So, according to some, we're goris this word, and it means that we'll give you an answer now as to that it wasn't real anointment that Yehu had, and we bring a raya from what we just said about Yehoachaz. Others delete the word Ella, and they just read this as a continuation. In any event, Yehoachaz, Mibnei Yoyakim, Ochiv, Shoyagodu Menu Shtei Shonim. We just said that Yehoachaz had to be anointed because he had an older brother, Yoyakim, who should have been the king first, and only Yoyachaz was anointed ahead of him to show that he was the right king. But there's a problem over here. Yoshio, their father, had hidden away. That we started off the shiur today, Mishenignas Aaron by Yoshio. So how did they anoint him if the Aaron, and with it, the Aaron was all the other things, such as the Shemen HaMishcha, was hidden away? So how could they have anointed Yoyachaz? There was no Shemen HaMishcha. So how can you tell me that that was really what happened? So Gemara says, Hadamra, that's what we mean to tell us, Be'afar Simon Nimshach, he wasn't anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, they anointed him with this Afar Simon, which is translated as balsam, and it wasn't a real anointing, but they did it to demonstrate over here that Yehoachaz was going ahead of Yoyakim, so that's why they did a pseudo type of Mashicha, and that's the answer. So too with Yehu, when they anointed Yehu, because of the fight that he had with Yoram, so that wasn't a real anointing, it was by Fire Simon as well, and therefore that answers both of these questions. Another halacha, a moshkin amlochim elamin a keren, that when you anoint a king, so you have to go and anoint him with the Shemen HaMishcha from a keren, that's a horn. The horn, in those days, and probably even today, we have the word cornucopia, which means this horn of plenty, so a horn symbolizes something that is overflowing with bracha. So therefore, you bedavka want to go and anoint the king with a horn of the Shemen HaMishcha. As opposed to, if you only use a pach, you're going to run into trouble. And it won't be as Simona de Milsa, that it will be a sign that the kingship will continue forever. As we see, the Gemara says, Shaul v'Yehu nimshu min hapach. Shaul was anointed with Shem and Mishcha. Yehu, we said, with the Afar Simon, but both of them were anointed from a pach, as the Psukim tell us. And therefore, Haisa Malchus Overis, therefore the kingship did not last for long. However, David Shlomo nimshu min hakeren, they were anointed with a keren, this cornucopia, so therefore, Haisa Malchuson Malchus Kayemis, and therefore their kingship continued forever. The Mashiach is going to come from Malchus based David, it's never going to be stopped. Another halacha, a moshlin kohanim halachim, we never go and anoint a kohen if he becomes a king. You might have thought, the Mefarshim bring down, and since you anoint a kohen gadol, so maybe we would anoint a king that came from the kohanim, because their family, so to say, is used to being anointed. So the din is, a moshlin kohanim halachim. When the chashmonoim became the kings, so they were not anointed. A moshlin kohanim halachim. Now we bring down Amar Rebbe. Now the gifts that we have is Yona Amar Rebbe Avi, but we'll just read it. Amar Rebbe Yehuda, who came from a place called Antundaria, he came from this certain city, and he said, Al Shem, this is based upon that we don't go and anoint Kohanim, because it says, Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda. We don't ever have anybody be the king other than from Shevet Yehuda. A different reason is brought down by Amar Rebbe Chiya Bar Adda. He says, Laman Yarech Yomim Amam Lachto, Hu B'Nav Ker Yisrael. It says that this will be, that he should be a leader of Kai Yisrael for many, many years, he and his children, B'Ker of Yisrael. So what does that mean? Mike said Basrei, what does it say right after that? Lo Yeh LaKohanim Alevim. And the Korban Eda explains that this is telling us, even a melech we don't appoint from the Kohanim, and certainly they don't get anointed. You might have thought that they should get anointed because they're used to being anointed, so to say, so we don't anoint them, we don't even appoint them as king. Now we go and discuss a little bit the history at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash of the kingships of Klal Yisrael. So Amar Rav Yochanan says, this is based upon a pasuk that we have in Divrei HaYamim, where it says that Yoshiyahu had four sons. And it says that the first son's name was Yochanan, the second son's name was Yehoyakim, the third son's name was Sitkio, and the fourth son's name was Shalom. So Amar Rav Yochanan tells us that this Yochanan, which we said was the first son, so who Yochanan? That is the same. Yochanan is the same. Who Yochanan? Who Yehoachaz? Yehoachaz and Yochanan are the same person. Even though the pasuk says that the first son's name was Yochanan, that is Yehoachaz. Gemara says, "Vaksiv habachar Yochanan." Says that the bachar was Yochanan. And if you're telling me that Yochanan is Yehoachaz, we just said that Yehoachaz was 2 years younger than his older brother Yochim. So how can you tell me that Yochanan and Yehoachaz are the same person if it says that Yochanan is the bachar? Where it says, no, he was Bechor Lamalchus. When it says that HaBechor Yochanan, that means that he was the first one to become the king, albeit he was the second son. Then we continue darshing in the Pasuk, Amar of Yochanan. Yochanan says, furthermore, it says that the third son of Yoshio was Sitkio, and the fourth son was Shalom. But then Rav Yochanan says, who's Shalom, who's Sitkio? Says that they're the same person. The third and fourth son are the same person. Gemara says, Vaksiv, Hashlishi Tzidkio, Harvi, Shalom. It says that they're two different sons. Gemara says, no. Shlishi Litolodos. Yes, he's called the third son because he was the third born. The first born was Yehoyakim, the second one was Yehoachaz, and the third born was Tzidkio. He only had three sons. However, Revi Lamachos, he was only the fourth one to become the king because his two older brothers, first Yehoachaz, the second son, then Yehoyakim, the first son, but then also Yehoyakim's son, Yechoniah, became a king before Yoshio's third son, Tzidkio, became the king, and therefore he was the Revi Lamalchus after Yoshio. So again, the kings after Yoshio were first his second son, which was Yehoachaz, who was also known as Yochanan. Then he had Yehoyakim, who was the Bechor, physically, and then Yehoyakim's son, Yechoniah. And then only the fourth king after Yoshio was Tzidkio, also known as Shalom. Now, why did Tzidkio have all these names? We'll see, he had three names. So Tzidkio, Shetzidek Olov Midas Hadin. Tzidkio was a very righteous king. The simple reading of the Navi would not seem to indicate so, but the Gemara explains that, no, he was a very righteous king. Unfortunately, his generation wasn't righteous. That's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in his day. And he suffered a terrible, terrible death, being blinded and having his sons killed in front of him. And nevertheless, he said Tzidek HaDin. He said HaKadosh Baruch Hu is correct and right, and that's why he was known as Tzidkio. That's what all Gemara says over here. Shetzidek Olov Midas HaDin. There are other reasons given, but that's what all Gemara here says. Shalom. Why was he called Shalom? Because Shebiyamav Shalma Malchus Beis David. Because he was the last king in the first Beis HaMikdash from Malchus Beis David. He did have children, and his children did have children, and there are descendants of Malchus Beis David waiting to come as Moshiach, but that was the last king, so Shalom was implying Shalma Malchus Beis David in the Bais Rishon. Reish Lakish Omar, that's the Girsa that we have. Others say, no, this is a continuation of this braisa, lo Shalom Havishmei, lo Tzidkiyahu Havishmei. Neither his real name was Shalom or Tzidkiyahu. Those were names that were describing him. But what was his real name? Ella Matanya. His real name was Matanya. And this explains, Hado Dixiv, this is what the pasuk means when it says, Vayamlech Melech Bavel es Matanya Dodo Tachtav, that the Nebuchadnezzar appointed Yechoniah's uncle, right? Dodo means the uncle of the current king. That was Yoyakim's son, Yechoniah. So he appointed, after he took Yechoniah into Golus Bavel, he was only a king for 3 months, and then with the Cherish and the Maskir, he was brought down to Bavel. We mentioned this the other day as well. So for the last 11 years, then he appointed Yechoniah's uncle, right? His father's brother, Yoyakim's younger brother, Tzidkiyahu, to be the king. Vayasi v'shmo Tzidkiyahu, and he changed his name to Tzidkiyahu. Now, the reason why Nebuchadnezzar changed his name to Tzidkiyahu was because Tzidkiyahu had seen Nebuchadnezzar eating some sort of a live rodent. And Tzidkiyahu was sworn to secrecy to never reveal that secret. And therefore he said, if you break your vow, so then I'm going to make justice on you. And he made Tzidkiyahu swear that he wouldn't rebel. And when Tzidkiyahu broke this shvua, he thought he had a right to break the shvua. Nevertheless, he was held accountable by Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar treated him in a very horrible way. Amar Rav Yochanan, another statement from Yochanan, Ba'ama shoshisha tfachim haya oron osui. Since we talked about the oron being nignat, so now we go back and discuss a little bit more about the oron. The dimensions of the oron, the Torah tells us, were 2.5 amos by 1.5 amah, by 2.5 amah. It was a three-dimensional structure, so it had a length, width, and a height. So it was 2.5 by 2.5 by 1.5. Now, what size amma was it made from? There are potentials for different size amma. There's a 5 tefach amma, and there's a 6 tefach amma. And even with the 6 tefach amma, remember we had, there was one that was a 6 tefach and a half of an etzba, and a 6 tefach and a full etzba. So we had various size amma. So here we're just dealing with a 5 tefach amma or a 6 tefach amma. A tefach is, again, 4 thumbs together, which is about 3.5 to 4 inches. So Rav Yochanan tells us that when they measured out the size of the aron, it was with an amma that was shisha tfachim, 6 tefach to each amma. Shisha tfachim hayo ha'aron osui. Mantana bi'amma shal shisha tfachim. Who is the author of this? This is Rav Meir. This is the opinion of Meir. The Tanan, because we learned in a Mishnah, this Mishnah is in Kalim, where it tells us, kol ha'amos hayu beveinonis, all of the ammas in the Beis Hamikdash were made of the medium-sized 6 tefach amma, but Reb Yehuda says, Review the Omer, Amos HaBinyon Shisha. When you're talking about the Beis HaMikdash building, yeah, they were made with 6 tefach amma. But the Kalim, Shal Kalim Chamisha, they used a amma that contained only 5 tefachim when you're dealing with the Kalim. Therefore, I'll die to the Rebbe, according to the opinion of Rebbe, that it was 6 tefachim. So, do Omer be amma Shal Shisha tefachim hoya aron asui. So Rebbe would therefore say that the aron was made out of 6 tefach ammas, and therefore, Orko shel aron chamisha asa tefachim. The length of the aron was 2.5 amah, so it would be 15 tefachim, because each amah is 6, so 6 and 6 is 12, and a half is 3, so that's 15. Tilsiv, amasayim v'chetzi orko, its length, the pasuk tells us, was 2.5 amah, and therefore each amah is amsa ashisa, amsa shisa, each of the two amahs is 6 tefachim, that's 12, upalgus amah, then v'chatzi is a half of an amah, that's plus another 3, 6, 6 and 3 is 15. Now, the arba luchos hayubo. Now, they had to put in the luchos that were not broken, the second luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down, as well as they put in the shivrei luchos into this aron. Now, this goes in accord, certainly, with the opinion that says there was only one aron that they had the luchos and the shivrei luchos into it. According to the other opinion, said there was a separate aron for the luchos and the shivrei luchos, so this must be before they made the second aron. In any event, they put all the arba luchos inside this aron. Now, the dimensions we just said was the height was 15 tefachim. So, shnayim shleimim, two of the luchos were intact, and shnayim shurim, two of them were the shivrei luchos, the broken luchos. Tuxiv, asher shibarta. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, take the luchos asher shibarta, the samtom ba'aron, and go put them in the aron. So, go take the luchos that you broke, along with the new luchos, and put them in the aron. Now, how big were the luchos? Haluchos yer kol echad v'yechad arko shisha tefachim. The length of the luchos was 6 tefachim. Rochvo, now the girsa that we have is shisha, but the Vilna Gaon says it should be the girsa over here, shlosha. So its length was 6, its width was 3, and go and place this inside the Aron, so go put it in. The girsa that we have is the same Archon, Shaluchos, L'Archon, Shalaron. Go put it in the longitudinal axis of both of them. So put the length against the length. But the Vilna Gaon says, no, you're putting the width against the length. The same Rochvon, Shaluchos, the side that is three Tvachim, put that against the longest side of the Aron. And therefore, in this way, Nishtayashom Shlosha Tvachim. You'll have three Tvachim left. Now, this is very hard to understand outside, but Baruch Hashem, there's a beautiful diagram in the art scroll that I would suggest you look at if you haven't, which is on page 16b1, which is on return to the Amud Beis to see this diagram, and you can look at that in footnote number 1, where it basically has the Aron is dimensions of 14 inside, because there's a half of a tefach of the wall that is considered when you measure the Aron to be 15 tefachim from the outside, but the wall itself takes a half a tefach up in this, so therefore the length of the Aron from the inside is going to be 14 tefachim, and the width is not going to be the tefach umechza, which would be 9 tefachim, 6 plus 3 would be 9, but it's also going to only be half a tefach off on the top, half a tefach off on the bottom, so therefore it's going to be 8. So the inner dimensions of the Aron was not 15 by 9, that was the outer dimensions, the inner dimensions were 14 by 8. And this way, we turn to the Amud Beis, Tein mehem chatzi tefach l'chol kosel. The walls themselves were a half of a tefach, nishtayir shnei tefachim l'sefer Torah. So when you put in the Aron in this fashion, the long axis of the Luchos was against the short axis of the Aron. So therefore, you can fit in the Luchos, which were six Tvachim along their length, you put them in into the 8 Tefach space. So you'll have a Tefach on the top and a Tefach on the bottom that's loose, and then you have them lined up. They're only 3 Tvachim wide. That goes against the long axis, which is 14, so then you have an extra 2 tefachim there, and that was where you put in the Sefer Torah. Those extra 2 tefachim are for the Sefer Torah, and you have a little bit of space on the top, a little bit of space on the bottom, a tefach above, a tefach below, that you can take the Sefer Torah in and out very easily. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Now, I already gave you the next piece of the Gemara, how you fit it in. So he tells us, Rochvo shel Aron tisha tefachim. The width of the Aron was 9 tefachim, that's the outer width. The inner width is going to be 8 tefachim. Dechsev, amma v'chetzi arko, because it says that it's 1.5 amma wide. Amsa ashisa, and according to Rav Meir, each amma is 6 tefachim. Upalgus amsa, and a half of an amma is close going to be 3. So 6 plus 3 is 9. And therefore, v'arbo luchos hayubo, and you put the 4 luchos in there, they're short axis is now going against the long axis of the Aron. Shnayim Shleimim, the two full ones, or Shnayim Shurim, the two broken ones, they take up the same space. The Siv, the Pasiz, Asher Shibartim, Sam Tav Aron, as we just brought down. Now, Haluchas Ayokolech V'yechod Arkon Shisha Tvachim. Their length was 6 Tvachim, and their width, now the Girsa again that we have is Rochvon Shisha, but that's incorrect. And the Gra changes around and says Rochvon Shlosha Tvachim. And this way, you can fit in 3, 3, 3, 3, that takes up a total of 12 Tvachim, and you put that along the long axis. The short axis of the Luchos goes against the long axis of the Aron. Again, the gears is messed up over here. It says Tain Rochvon Shaluchos L'Rochvon Shal Aron, but it really should be, the Gemara changes it around, Tain Arkon Shaluchos L'Rochvon Shal Aron. Again, you put the short axis in against the long axis, and therefore you can fit in the space, the inside space is 14, because you need a half a tefach on each side for the wall, so there's a total of, from 15, there's 14 of inner space, 12 of which is taken up by the luchos, and therefore you have the extra 2, nishtayir sham, shlosha tefachim, chatzi tefach mikan lekosel zeh, v'chatzi tefach mikan lekosel zeh, that's the half of the wall, and you're left with 2 tefachim, tefachayim, l'shilut makom shesefer Torah menuch, and that's to get the Sefer Torah in and out, that's the extra 2 tefachim that you have. And you have the 1 tefach above it and the 1 tefach below it to go and easily bring the Sefer Torah in and out. This was the opinion of Yochanan. According to Rav Shimon Malakish, however, Rav Shimon Malakish amar, bi'amo bas chamisha tefachim hayo ha'aron asui. According to the opinion, it says that the Aron was made from a amma that was 5 tefachim, you have a whole different calculation. So, who is this Tana? Man Tana bi'amo bas chamisha tefachim. This is Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Taninan Taman, because we learned in the Mishnah Kalim, which we had this already mentioned on the Omer Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amas Abinyan Shisha. He says when you're using the buildings of the Beis HaMikdash, you use the 6 Tefach Amma. But for the Kalim, Shal Kalim, we said Chamisha. And this is the Aron, is the Kali. That's what the Gemara says. the Hon Aron, this Aron, Keliu. Therefore, it is going to be made of a Amah that is five Tochen. And therefore, based upon this, Adaita Reuda, based upon this reasoning of Reuda, do Amar Biyama Shochamisha Tochem Haya Arko Osri. So then the length of the Aron was made with an Amah that was five Tochem. And therefore, we have over here 2.5 Amos. So Shnei Masar Tafach Umechza. That's going to be 5, 5, and half of 5 is 2.5, a total of 12.5. So the first amma of these 2.5 ammas is 5. The second amsa is another 5. Chamsha upagus amsa, and the half of the third amma trey upalik is 2.5, and therefore it's a total of 12.5. Now the luchos are the same size as before. You have the four luchos there, the two that are intact and the two that are broken. You have to put them all together there. And baluchos vayor kolecher yechod orkon shisha tvachim v'rochbon. Again, the gears that we have a shisha, but it should be rochbon shlosha tvachim. This is unchanged from what we just said before, that the length and width of the luchos was 6 by 3. And this is talking about tvachim. So here there's no question whether you're using a 5 tefach amma or a 6 tefach amma. Here it tells us that there was a certain size of tvachim of the luchos, and therefore you put it in. Again, the gears is messed up. We attain archon shaluchos l'arko shal aron is the gears that we have, but the Gra says it should be attain rochon shaluchos l'arko shal aron. You take the long axis of the aron and you put that against the short axis of the luchos. So therefore, v'nishtayv shom chatzi tefach etzba l'kosu mikan v'etzba l'kosu mikan. According to this version, and you can see this in the diagram of the art scroll next to footnote number 10. Here, the total that you have in the outer is 12.5. The inner, here, the walls are less thick. Each wall here is a quarter of a tefach, which is an etzba. So you can have an etzba and an etzba, each wall, that adds up to a half of a tefach. So from the 12.5, so you now have used up a half of a tefach. So you're left with the inside being 12 tochim. As you can see in the diagram, that's exactly the size of the luchos. So you fit them in exactly. Each luach is going to be 3 tefachim wide, and it goes in an area 3, 3, 3, 3, in an area that's 12 long. It fits in exactly perfectly. And as you see, no room for the Sefer Torah. Now we do the other calculation for the width. Same exact calculation we did a moment ago, except you're using a 5 tefachim instead of a 6 tefachim. So rochvo shel aron shiva tefachim umechza. Here you're going to have the width being 7.5, because it's an amma v'chetzi, but the amma is 5, so it's going to be 5 plus a half, which is 2.5, so 5 and 2.5 is 7.5. So the rochvo shel aron is going to be shiva tefachim umechza, 7.5 tefachim. The pasuk says amma v'chetzi rochvo, its width is 1.5 amma, and here we're dealing with amsos chamsha, the amma is 5 tefachim, upalgus amsa, the half of an amma is trey upalgus. Poly is 2.5, that's 7.5. The arba luchos hayubo, and you have the four luchos, which are 6 in their length, 6 tefachim in their length. Shtayim shleimim, shtayim shurim, dechsev asher shibarta, v'samtom ba'orim, same exact drasha. So you have to fit 6 into an area of 7.5. But again, you have the wall, and here the wall again is a quarter of a tefach, an etzba. So you have an etzba at the top, an etzba at the bottom, that's 2 etzbos, is a half of a tefach. So that gets rid of a half from the 7.5, and you're left with a length of 7. You have to put in the luchos, which are 6, so you're going to have a little room at the top and a little room at the bottom, a half of a tefach at the top and a half of a tefach at the bottom. That's extra. And that's what the Gemara says. Haluchos hayo kolecha v'yachod arkon shisha tvachim. V'rochbon, again, the gear said we have a shisha, but should be shlosha tvachim. Tain, again, the gears that we have is rochbon l'rochbo shel aron. It should be tain arkon l'rochbo shel aron. You put it in the long axis against the short axis. And you're left over with 1.5 tefachim, but we just said that the half of the tefach is the wall. Etzba l'kos mikan, the etzba l'kos mikan, that gets rid of the 2 etzbos is a half of a tefach, and you're left with a chatzi tefach mikan on the top and a chatzi tefach on the bottom, mikan l'shilo, to allow you to go and take the luchos in and out. Nadigmore continues and says, Ketzad also Betzalel's Aron. We know the Betzalel ben Uri ben Chor was the one that made the Aron. So how did he go and make the Aron? Ketzad also Betzalel es Aron. So Omar, the gears that we have is Omar Mechanina ben Gamliel, but Gamliel is in parentheses and we're not goris it. So Mechanina said, Sholosh Tevos or so, that when Betzalel made the Aron, it was 3 boxes. The inner box, there was a box around that, and then a box around that. Shalosh tevos aso, shtayim shalzov, 2 of them were made out of gold, v'achas shal eitz, and 1 of them made out of wood. So nosan shalzov b'shal eitz, they put the golden inner box inside the box that was made out of wood, and then Mishalates, they took that box of wood, which has the other gold box inside of it already, Mishalates, Mishalzov, they put that into a larger golden box, and then Mitzipo, and they plated it all, they covered up all the parts that were wood with gold. Tilsiv, the Tzipis, also Zov Tar, Mibayis, Mibachutz, from the inside and from the outside. Matam would lomer Titzapenu, then why does that have to say afterwards Titzapenu? Lavisvasoel Yonah, to include as well that they had to go and plate the upper part, which was wood, that could be seen through it, so they plated that as well. So even though there was a wooden box in there, you couldn't tell that because from looking at it everywhere, inside and outside, it was totally enclosed in gold. That's the opinion of Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Shimon Lakish, or my Rish Lakish, says, no, Teva Achas Asol, there was one box, there wasn't three boxes. Vitzibo, and it was plated totally with gold. It was made out of wood, and it was plated with gold. Tilsib, Tzipis also saw of Tar, Mibayis Mechutz, you had to go and plate it with gold on the inside and the outside. Aye, then what do you need, according to Rish Lakish, Matam Lomer Titzapenu, says Mibayis Mechutz Titzapenu, you already said Tzipis, so what do you need Tzapenu? So Rabbi Pinchas explains, Lavi Dein Neser Leneser, that even in between the boards of the box, you had to make sure that there was all gold plating. You couldn't have any wood at all visible. Then the Gemara continues and says, Ketzar Yaluchos Kesuvim, how were the Luchos actually written? And here we're going to go into an unbelievable nisim as to how the Luchos were actually written. You have the famous Radvaz that says that the Luchos were able to be read and seen on every side. Whichever way you looked at it, you were seeing the same letters, and it was through and through. So you had the letter, for example, like a Samach or a Mem Sofis that stood miraculously because they were totally carved out, and it went through and through. So how did those letters stand? It was through nisim. So the whole Luchos were a Maisa nisim. So in any event, the Gemara asks, Ketzad hayo haluchos kesuvim? How were the luchos actually written? So again, we have Rabbi Chanina, and here again in parenthesis, we have Ben Achia Rav Yehuda, who was the son of the brother of Rabbi Yehuda, but we delete that, it's in parentheses. So Rabbi Chanina Ben Gamliel Omer, he says, Chamisha luach zeh, the Aseres Hadibros, five were written on first one of the luchos, and the other five were written on the second one of the luchos. This is the standard way most of us understand it. This is the way it's always depicted in drawings and in shuls when they have the luchos, although in many shuls it's incorrectly that the luchos have like a curvature at the top, and it's like an arc on the top, and that's totally incorrect. The luchos were a square structure. The top was flat, square. It wasn't curved like the luchos are commonly demonstrated, that they're tablets that are brought down with the curvature on the top. That's probably based in Avodah Zarah. In any event, so the luchos were a cubical structure, and they were flat on the top, not curved on the top. In any event, we have five of the Aseres Hadibros on the first of the luchos, on Luach Zeh, and then the other five are written on Luach Zeh, and that's a typical way we follow this opinion in most of the ways that the luchos are depicted in art and in beautifications of shuls, etc. So in any event, this is based upon the pasuk Hado Dichsev Vayich Teveim Al Shnei Luchos Avadim. The luchos are written on these two stones, Chamisha Luach Zeh, Chamisha Luach Zeh. That is the first opinion. We'll see there are three other opinions which aren't as well popularized in art and in decorative drawings. Rabbanan Amri, the Chachamim disagree with this opinion of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. And they say, no, Asara Luach Zeh, V'Asara Luach Zeh. Yeah, the two Luchos, each of them had the full Aseres Hadibros on each one. And that's based upon the Pasuk, Hado Duchsev, V'Yakei Luchem Esbriso Asher Tzivo Eschem La'asos Aseres Hadvarim. The Aseres Hadvarim were written on each of the two Luchos, Asara Luach Zeh, V'Asara Luach Zeh. That's the second opinion of the Chachamim. We have a third opinion, Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, Esrim aluach zeh, the Esrim aluach zeh. On each of the luchos, it was twice written the Aseres Hadibros. They're not saying Chas Hashem that the 20 Aseres Hadibros. It's the Aseres Hadibros. There weren't 20, there were 10. But they wrote on each of the luchos, they wrote it twice. Esrim aluach zeh, the Esrim aluach zeh. This is based upon the pasuk that we just read. Vayechtevein al shnei luchos avonim, which means that you should write each of them on each of the luchos. Esrim aluach zeh, the Esrim aluach zeh. And the fourth and final opinion is Rav Simoy. Rav Simoy Omar, there were Arbayim Aluach Zeh, the Arbayim Aluach Zeh, that each of them had it four times written on each one of the luchos, because the pasuk says, Dirsiv, Mizeh, Umizeh, Heim Ksuvim, because you could see it on each of the sides. So the simple understanding of this one is that you had 40 times the luchos were able to be read because you looked at it from the front, the back, and the two sides. That's the simple way to understand this, Tetroga. Tetra, it was four. So tetroga means that it was written four times on each of the luchos, which means that on each one of the luchos, you could look at it from any direction and you would see the Aseres Hadibros. And again, this was B'nais. So we have these four opinions as to how the Luchos were actually written. Now we'll even learn more amazing things. Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua Omer, he says, Ben Kol Dibur Dibur, between every one of the Aseres HaDibros, there was unbelievably additional writings, Dik Dukel V'yosi Yosea Shul Torah. The entire Torah was written in between each one of the Aseres HaDibros. So had Anochi Hashem, and then after that, they wrote the entire Torah. Then they had the next Dibra, and after that was written the entire Torah. The next Dibra, after that was written the entire Torah. They'll say it, Mimuloyim B'Tarshish. It was filled in like Tarshish, Kiyama Rabba, like a great sea. In other words, the Yam of Torah, the Mepharshim bring down, not only the Torah Shabbat, but the entire Torah Shabbat Peh, including all future generations' Torah, was written down on the Luchos. Phenomenal Nes. Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Kad Havamote Hadein Karya, when he reached this pasuk, he would say, Hava Omar, Yofe Limdani Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua. I heard this drasha from Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua that we just said, and he says, oh, that's a great drasha. Because he says, Maha Yamazeh, just like an ocean, Ben Gal Godol, Legal Godol, between the big waves, Gal and Ktanim, are little waves, Kak Ben Kol Dibur V'Dibur. The Dibur, each one of the Sarsa Dibur is like the big wave, and Dikdukel, Vyosi Yosel, Shel Torah are like the small waves that are written in between them, in much smaller print, so to say. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Tenchuma, Rabbi Tenchuma says, Is Kashis Kume Rabbi Pinchas? I raise the following question in front of Rabbi Pinchas. Asyok Rabbi Yehuda, if you go according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, everything is good, because according to the version of Rabbi Yehuda, there was no Sefer Torah inside the Aron. The Sefer Torah was outside the Aron. The low Asik Rameya, but this doesn't go according to the opinion of Meir. Now, what's going on over here? My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason? The pasuk says, "Lakoach Sefer Torah zeh v'samtem also mitzad Aron b'ris Hashem u'gomer." Put it on the side of the Aron, not in the Aron. Put it on the side of the Aron. Oh, that works exactly like the second opinion of Yehuda, that the Amma of the Aron was five Tochim, and as we pointed out, the four Luchos fit in exactly. There was no extra room for the Sefer Torah, and therefore it says, you take the Sefer Torah and put it on the side, Mitzad Aron Bris Hashem. So that works out very great. Al Daiti, Rav Yehuda, Du Amar, Hechon Yosef Sefer Torah Nosun. According to this opinion, where did Rav Yehuda say the Sefer Torah was put? Kemin Gluskia Asui Lo Mivuchutz. They made some sort of a container for it outside the Aron. Some suggest this was the Argaz that the Plishtim had sent, and they used this to store the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Via Sefer Torah, Nosun Besocho. So it wasn't inside the Aron, it was outside the Aron. This is the Girsa that we have. The Vilna Gaon changes the whole Girsa around over here. In any event, we'll just learn it nice and simple like this Girsa, because it fits in very easily to the words that we have. So therefore, when Rabbi Tenchuma said, this fits in very well, when I asked this question to Rabbi Pinchas, this fits in very well according to Yehuda, but how does Rabbi Meir learn this? So my time of the Rabbi Meir, so how does Rabbi Meir learn this pasuk? So he says, Dechsid, Menosatis Kaporis ala Oren Milamala. He says, you put the Kaporis, which is the cover of the Oren, on top of it, the ala Oren Titein Esa Eidus Asheretein Alecha. And inside you have to go put the Eidus. The Eidus is the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's how Rabbi Meir learns that the Eidus, the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, has to go inside the Oren. And according to his dimensions, it works out very well. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda would learn that the Eidus over here is not the Sefer Torah. The Eidus is referring to the Luchos. Now we're going to change the gears around over here again. It says, Al Daite, we have the gears of the Rav Meir, but it should be Al Daite the Rav Yehuda. According to the gears of Yehuda, Du Omar Ein Mukta Mumucha B'Torah. He must hold that there is no order in the Torah. The chronology of the Torah is not following a straight path, that you can have sometimes earlier things that are said later and later things that are said earlier. And therefore, Du Omar, this makes sense, Ein Mukta Mumucha B'Torah, because it says, Elo, the El Ha'aron, Titanus Eidus, Shesterein Lecha, according to Rav Yehuda, says you should put the Eidus inside over there, and then afterwards it says, V'achakach, Minosatis Echaporis, Al Aron Milmola, you put the cup of the Aron on top of it. So therefore, he would understand that first you put the Luchos inside, and then you put the cover on it, even though it says the cover is on it, and subsequently it says that the Eidus has to be put inside of it. You have to put in the Eidus, the Luchos, before you put the cover on it, but the order of the Pasuk seems to say that you put the cover on it, and then you put in the Eidus, so obviously, Ein Mukdam Umuchar B'Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Finally, we conclude this piece of the Gemara with Rabbi Pinchas, B'Shem Rishim L'Lakish. Rabbi Pinchas says the name of Rish Lakish, HaTorah Shenosan L'Kosh Baruch L'Moshe, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu got on Har Sinai, Nitna Lo Eish Levana, was written with a white fire, Eish Levana, which means that the parchment, so to say, of the Luchos, the background of the Luchos was a white fire, and then it was Eish Levana Charusa Be'eish Chore, and it was written with a black fire. So the lettering was like a black on a white. He Eish, the Torah itself is Eish, Muvlelis Be'eish, mixed in with Eish. Chatzuva Me'eish, and it was made from Eish. The whole Luchos were made from fire. Unasura Me'eish, and it was given with fire. Tachsiv, Mimino Eish Dos Lomo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, so to say, the Torah with his right hand. Again, these are very deep ideas, not easily understood. And we will start the next Mishnah in Yitzhak Hashem tomorrow, where this will conclude today's share.